B-Pod Studios.
Gasper and Murray have scorching hot takes. Twisting your mind with Pat Celtics and Bays. They'll also talk socks and out-of-town fame. Just call them up on this Saturday. Gasper!
Hey, Murray.
Gasper!
Hey, Murray.
Just call them up on this Saturday. Gasper!
Hey, Murray.
Gasper!
Hey, Murray.
Gasper!
Hey, Murray.
In for Murray as he is still in transit on his way back from Miami. Brady Watch is on. Mookie Watch is on. And for Brady Watch, we've been talking about this now for about a month. A little more. And, no, a little less, I should say. Season ended on, the 4th. And here we are, February 1st. We got about three more weeks of this, at least. No, sorry, more than that. We have about five more weeks of this. Until we know where Tom Brady's going to go, or at least until, you know, free agency opens, which is on March 18th, which seems like an awfully long way away. And then there's also the little matter of, I don't know, Mookie Betts, the other MVP in the city,
yeah,
who's also probably on the move here. As all week long, we were hearing from Buster Olney and John Heyman and Jeff Passan and everybody. We had all these same reports that Mookie Betts is on the verge of being traded either to the Dodgers or the San Diego Padres. So we did a little bit on Brady to start the show. We will get back to him in just a moment, but we got two MVPs probably leaving town here, Gasper. First of all, weird. Second of all, if Mookie Betts is traded, is there any way that John Henry and the Red Sox can kind of win this PR battle? Is there any way for them to come out on the other end of this not pissing everybody off?
I think it's really tough. I mean, you know, team doesn't make the playoffs last year. You raise the ticket prices. You're embroiled in a controversy through Cora with the Astros and the sign stealing, even though there's been no sort of finding by MLB regarding your team, but you still lost your manager and then you trade away your best player. I mean, that's tough.
Yeah.
You know, and the only way I can see it working in their favor is I do think there's a certain subset of fans that will look at it and blame Betts and say, well, you know, how much money do you need? You know, I'm not one of those people. I think if you're a player, you have to maximize your value, go get what you can get. But I think that's the only way they can do it is if they end up sort of after the fact leaking some of the offers they made to Betts. That might infuriate the fans. Let's say it's like 10 years, you know, $365 million, and that was their last offer, and Mookie turned that down. Then I think that's the only way they can win that PR battle is if they, on his way out of town, if suddenly they start leaking out what some of these offers were.
But on the other hand, Mookie countered. And so doesn't that kind of fly in the face of the idea that Mookie doesn't want to be here and he just wants to leave and he's not going to stay? Like, he gave him a counteroffer. Now, it was a huge, ridiculous counteroffer, and it didn't pay him just about the same amount as Mike Trout. But I don't think that that's an unrealistic expectation for Mookie to get next year in the open market. And it also showed he's willing to play ball. Like, he was willing to at least say, no, I'll stay for this, though. I'll sign it right now. You give me this, and I'll stay and sign.
Sure, that's like top of the market. Like, to me, if there's an indication you want to stay, it's based on the fact that you'll take a little less to stay. I think with Mookie, it's not about where he plays. It's about how much money he makes. And I'm okay with that. But I think that if the number one thing for Mookie in his career moving forward was to play for the Red Sox, then I think that maybe the offer would come down a little. You know, I think if the number one thing is to get as much money as he can and try and help out the Players Association and reset the market, which I think are things that he wants to do and that he feels, then it's not really about where you're playing. It's about who can pay you the most,
which is
what David Price did, right? I think David Price probably would have been happier in St. Louis.
Oh, he definitely would have been happier
in St. Louis. But who was offering him the most money? It was the Red Sox, so he ended up coming here.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, that's what you sign up for, and you make the bet, you got to lie in it. And I do think that Mookie's been pretty consistent about all of this.
I agree.
He said all along, like, nothing personal, Boston. I love you and everything, but I want to be a free agent. And, you know, hopefully Boston will spend the most money. And when, you know, the Red Sox come at him with a big offer, and, you know, 310 years is no small potatoes here or anything like that, but it's a starting point. I feel like what happened after this? So you said 10 and 300. He comes back with 12 and 420. Nice. And then what? Like, then what happened? then what, you just stopped? Isn't that how negotiations work? You give them a small offer, they give you a big offer, you meet somewhere in the middle. Like, did they just say it's 12-420 and we're not going to talk to you after this? Like, that's what I'm curious about. Because obviously they got leaked by someone, probably someone in the Red Sox organization, if I had to take a wild stab in the dark here. I don't think Mookie's out there leaking his, you know, yeah, they offered me 3 and 100. Like, I don't think that's the case. But if that's the case, and it was, my question for whoever is deciding that this is a good thing to leak out is, okay, so what happened after that? What happened after Mookie said 12-420? Then what? What did you say? Did you come back with another offer? We know, we all watch Pawn Stars. We know how negotiations work. Like, what happened after the big, you know, 12-420? What did you say? And that's sort of the unanswered question here, right?
I mean, look, they've been trying to sign him, obviously, this whole offseason. It doesn't feel like they're any closer. It feels like they're actually closer to trading him. I think what's going to hurt the Red Sox is when they eventually do move on from him, and I think they will, is they're going to have to sell a deal where they get 50-60 cents on the dollar.
Right.
I mean, you're seeing what some of these reported trade packages are. Like, I don't know, did you see the one Kevin Acey from the San Diego Union Tribune was talking about? What?
Will Myers and like four prospects?
Yeah. And they weren't even prospects. It's like Manuel Margot, who's been in the majors for like 3 years and was your prospect that you traded for
Kimbrel,
Craig
right?
Kimbrel. You know, Cal Quantrill. And I'm not saying this is horrible, but it's like you're not getting Mackenzie Gore. You're not getting Taylor Trammell. You're not getting CJ Abrams. You're not getting their best prospects.
Right.
That's not what
you're
getting.
And they have great prospects.
They do. They have,
but like, they're not going to give them to you.
No, and I think it's the same
for one year of Mookie
Betts. It's the same with the Dodgers. You're not going to get Gavin Lux. You're not going to get Dustin May. You might get some good, you know, Verdugo's good, and you'll get some other prospects, but you're not going to get, you know, market value for Mookie. And the problem with the Red Sox, too, is that not only is it just 1 year of Mookie, but if you're one of these teams, you can look out there and say, okay, so we have to pay this guy $27 million, and you want us to take on like another salary
right.
price, and it's only 1 year of control. Well, why shouldn't I just call the Indians about Lindor, who's under control for 2 more years? Or Nolan Arenado, who has a longer contract. He can opt out after 2021, but I know I'm getting at least 2 years. Or Chris Bryant, who just lost his arbitration case and now won't be a free agent until after 2021.
Right.
So I know I get him for 2 years. All the other star guys out there, Mookie's better than those guys. But if you trade for them, you get them for 2 years, not just one. And you don't have to pay them as much.
The Mohamed Sanu conundrum, if you will.
Yeah.
Right? It's that extra year. It's very tempting. I'll put it this way. If I was advising John Henry, which there's no way he would ever allow that to happen,
he'd
if I was advising John Henry, I would say this. I would say, don't trade Mookie. Don't trade him at all. Just don't. I know that you don't want to lose him for nothing, and I understand that, and I think that makes a lot of sense. But if you care about the PR battle, which they obviously do, if you care about the PR battle, here's what you do. Here's what I think you should do. You make every effort. You keep leaking out these offers that you made to Mookie Betts. You gradually increase them, and then when he leaves and signs somewhere else, you at least can turn back to your fans and say, we tried everything. We didn't want to trade him. We wanted to keep him here. That's why we didn't trade him. We offered as much money as we could possibly afford to spend, and he wouldn't take it, and he went over to this other team. And that's sort of what they do anyway. I mean, that's kind of how players leave. They don't leave on good terms with the Red Sox generally, even when they get traded away, but certainly when they leave in free agency to go get more money. And I think that that's an easier sandwich to feed your fans than, yeah, we traded him for pennies on the dollar because we didn't want to lose them for nothing. The fans say, well, why didn't you try harder to keep him? At least this way you can say, we tried everything. We tried everything to keep him here. He wouldn't do it. We didn't trade him. And this is the best we could do. Sorry, everybody. You got a problem. Take it up with Mookie, right? Like,
if that's the PR way to do it,
and I feel like that matters to John Henry, it certainly matters to Warner and Henry. I feel like that's the way you go. Now, that doesn't leave a lot of room for Chaim Bloom to maneuver here, but how much is he really doing? I'll say this about Bloom. He does appear to have created a bidding war between these two teams, and that's impressive considering the circumstances he's under. But other than that, I mean, you know, honestly, if it's about PR, and I think a lot of it is, just don't trade him.
Here's the problem if you don't trade him, though. Because now this is when agendas collide. So if it's about the PR, which it might be to a degree, you're right, you don't trade him. But if it's also about the finances and getting under the luxury tax, it's you're not accomplishing anything if you keep him and then have to move somebody else to get under the luxury tax. If you're going to keep him, it makes no sense to pair the payroll and the talent around him. Because if you're keeping him, it means you're making a run. It means you're trying to go all in to win this year.
Right.
So you can't start dumping salaries and taking guys off the roster and keeping Mookie. That's a half measure that accomplishes nothing.
Doesn't it make more sense to get under the tax next year then? Because Mookie's going to be leaving anyway. You know,
next year. When you say next year, you mean this year? Or
next offseason. I'm saying 2021. Like,
yeah, but
you
still
have Mookie
to pay.
Play out this year. You maybe make the playoffs with whoever the hell your manager even is. Who knows?
But the third time, like, you're going to get hit with some major financial and competitive penalties.
Yeah,
which they want to avoid.
I mean, sure, but is that more important than avoiding the PR of trading Mookie Betts? You know,
like, I think it is.
You think it is?
I think when the agendas collide.
Why?
Because at the end of the day, I think you can trade bets.
It's a luxury tax. Who cares?
You can. It's easy to say because it's not our money.
Of course.
You know,
because I don't have a yacht.
You know, but I think for them, it's more important to get under the luxury tax, and they can accomplish part of what you're saying anyway. Even after you trade him, you can still say, we've been trying for X years to sign him. We gave this as much time as we could. Look, it's February. We were 10 days before reporting the spring training. We felt we had to resolve it. We made one last-ditch effort. Here was our offer. He didn't take it. We couldn't risk losing him for nothing. I think you can still execute 75% of your PR strategy and get 100% under the luxury tax.
Well, then I guess the question is, what's more valuable, that one last year of Mookie or three middle-of-the-road prospects from the Padres, right? Like, I mean, that comes down to what do you value more, I guess.
Well, okay, but again, it's not just three middle, and I'm speaking as them.
Will Myers, too.
I'm agreeing with you, but I'm speaking as them. If I'm them, the real value of trading Mookie is getting under the luxury tax. That's what it is. And you know what part of it would be? You could argue to your fans, well, we got under the luxury tax. That's a reset. So now Mookie or any other major free agent in 2020, like after the 2020 season, we're in play. Mm. We're in play. So you can make that argument. So the real return
That's
for
true.
Bets.
They could just sign him back, I guess.
They could. The real return for bets is not going to be the players. It's going to be getting under the luxury tax. That's the real return. And that's the part that I think is going to piss off fans.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it is. I think they're going to be probably angry no matter what happens here. But that'll be a big trigger, I feel like. You're right.
Oh, totally.
617-779-0985 is the phone number. We'll get to your Mookie calls right after this.
Gasper and Murray. 98.5, the Sports Hub. You're listening to Gasper and Murray.
Fantastic chemistry.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Arkin and Gasper here until 2 o'clock. Then we pass it off to Ted Johnson, Marshall Hook. And they will take you up until, I believe, 5 o'clock. I don't know what's going on between then and the Bruins, but we got Bruins hockey and Celtics basketball tonight. Bruins here on the Sports Hub, the Celtics on our sister station, 105.7 WROR. But the topic of conversation right now, that would be Mookie Betts and, to a lesser extent, Tom Brady. Right now we're talking about Mookie and whether or not he gets traded here in the... very near future. I was hearing a lot of people saying it was going to happen last night.
Oh, really?
Friday night news dump. Here it comes. Okay. Watch out. Mookie news. Get ready. And the last time someone told me that, it was about Alex Cora getting fired, and that happened right after someone told me that. So, you know, my sources aren't your sources, Gasper, but I'm certainly...
You've had very good sources. You have good sources in sports and in news. So, no. If you're hearing that, that's legit.
There's a lot of smoke for there not to be any fire. And I do think that Chaim Bloom is doing a pretty good job here in creating at least the illusion of a bidding war between these two teams in the NL West. But I guess my question is this. If they do end up moving on from Mookie Betts, what does that say about this team and their sort of chances of really competing this year? Is that kind of out the window if you trade your MVP away? Or are they strong enough, you know, with the players that they have to kind of shoulder that loss?
Well, I mean, they might be strong enough. No, look, obviously you'd say it decreases their chances significantly. On the other hand, look at the Washington Nationals.
Sure.
You know, they move on from Bryce Harper.
Exactly.
You know, I think Mookie's better than Bryce Harper, but part of it depends on, you know, what they get back and what happens. You know, maybe you move on from Mookie and Andrew Benintendi has a breakout season like people thought he was going to have last year. If Devers can keep doing what he's doing, Xander Bogaerts. It hurts. There's no question. I mean, you take that. I mean, he's the second best player in baseball. You take him out, you're not going to have as good a chance, particularly in a very competitive division like the AL East.
Right. Does that suddenly make this like a bridge year, right?
Honestly,
Mookie Betts, are you suddenly talking about a bridge season where no one has any expectations of making the playoffs?
Yeah, I think it is.
Because that's a tough thing to sell to Red Sox fans. Number one, we're trading this guy. Number two, don't really get too invested in the team this year. We don't expect them to go anywhere. Like that's a big bleep sandwich there.
But can you sell it as sort of a reset with the idea of, okay, like, you know, we didn't have our manager because Cora is gone.
Right, yeah.
So we have a new manager.
Blame Cora for everything.
Yeah, basically, we have a new manager. We have a new GM. We had to move on from Mookie. You know, give us a little time. This is we're not rebuilding. We're resetting. Can you sell it that? And you start selling. basically younger guys like Benintendi, Bogarts, Devers, Eduardo Rodriguez. And if Chris Sale comes back healthy, I think that helps them quite a deal. I think that helps them quite significantly.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think they could maneuver and through and navigate through a bridge here.
All right, let's go to the phone. 617-779-0985 is the phone number. Dylan, Dylon is in Dedham. He has a thought on Mookie Betts. Go ahead, Dylon.
Who the five best rappers of all time?
Think about it.
What's up, fellas?
Hey, what's going on,
man? You guys Wagwan. Are rocking it, man. Great show. Wagwan boys.
What's the deal?
Hey, did the Sox really raise ticket prices this season?
They did. Sure went did. Up 1.7%.
Yeah. Not a lot, but they did. Yeah.
No, that's perfect. That makes perfect sense. Trade your best player, fire your manager, raise ticket prices. But the point I wanted to make was I think Betts has to go, man. I love the guy. He's a great player, but this team just needs a change. And I think the way that you do it and keep the fans happy is you send David Price along out with him. I think that's the only move that they can make that will take a little bit of sting out of that trade
right.
if it is made.
Dylon, before we let you go here, hold on a second, Dylon, before we let you go, I do think that, you know, David Price, that is a little bit different from Mookie Betts. If you think this team needs a change, do they need a change from their best player? Do they need a change from Mookie? Like, I can understand wanting a change from David Price, who's sort of like this, you know, dark cloud over the team and is always sort of beefing with somebody and seems to have this kind of, but Mookie doesn't have, Mookie seems like a pretty happy-go-lucky kind of guy that everybody likes. Is that something they should move on from? That seems like a weird thing to move on from.
Well, I think the shoe that kind of fell in that whole situation is when Trout got that monster deal. When Trout got that monster deal, I thought to myself, oh boy, Mookie's gone. Because I'm not all right with giving him that kind of deal, and I think that's what he's going to get. And no shade on him. I mean, like you guys were saying earlier, you got to maximize your value as a player, but I'm not down with a 10-year deal.
Yeah, sure. Okay, thanks for the call, Dylon. And I agree. I think that, you know, it's unrealistic to think the Red Sox are going to give him that Mike Trout money. Because he doesn't deserve Mike Trout money. Trout's younger and he's better. So, I mean, you know, it's just that's simple enough right there. And also, you know, if you're the Red Sox and you're a Red Sox fan, as much as you love Mookie Betts, do you want to see him here at 39 years old running around making $35 million at the end of that contract? Like,
yeah,
you know,
tough.
Pujols, like,
that's a good point.
Think about what Dustin Pedroia is in right now. Dustin Pedroia is making, what, $13 million, something like that? Not that much. This is terrible what's going on with
Dustin
Pedroia.
And you know what's funny about, just as a quick aside,
it's like a sad situation.
It is. And anyway, I love Dustin, but I thought that was a horrible deal at the time. And I remember being on Felger and Mazik.
It was a bad deal.
And calling it out. And I was like, and it wasn't just, it's not just Pedroia, but it's like as hard as he played, you knew his body was going to break down. And I was like, 8 years. 8 years is a long time for anybody in sports. So look, if you're signing Mookie to this deal, to your point, Arcan, you know that in years 9 and 10, or if it's 12, you know that in years 9, 10, 11, and 12, like, you're probably not getting your money's worth, you know? It's sort of like you have to hope it balances out. You had him when he was good and younger for cheaper, and then at the end you're going to have him when he's not as good and he's overpriced.
Yeah, and that's sort of where you go. Like, it's tough to really look at any of these big-time 10-year, 12-year, whatever deals and think, oh, man, that's a great deal. Like, that really worked out for that team. Like, no. they were forced into it because they're just so into this player. It's the only way to get him. Why do you think it took so long for Machado and Harper to sign last year?
Yeah.
The whole season came and went. And one side was like, we can't. That's too much. And the other side was like, that's what we're going to do. And we'll hold out as long as we want to. These guys are rich. We got a strong union. We don't need you. Like, that's basically what happened. And then eventually they both signed. But it took the whole offseason for that to happen. Like, Mookie Betts, listen, I like him. He's a marketable guy. He's a great player. I wonder, I mean, this is baseball. Is anyone worth that kind of money in this sport? You know, that's kind of where I stand on all of this right now. Let's go to John in the car before the break. Go ahead, John.
Yeah, guys, I just think you may be missing one element that either the fans are forgetting or the Red Sox certainly haven't. And that is that the Yankees have really loaded themselves this offseason. And there's a high probability that regardless of Mookie or no Mookie, the Yankees have got a leg up on everyone. So if you have to take it on the chin, this is the year to take it on the chin, both realistically and financially.
All right. Do you agree with that, John? Are the Yankees so much – John, Chris.
Yeah.
John was the caller. Do you agree that the Yankees are so far ahead of the Red Sox that they might as well just bridge it this year?
No. I mean, the Red Sox obviously were disappointing last year, but if you get a healthy Chris Sale and you bring the same team back, you'd feel like you'd still have a chance. And here's the other thing I would say. Yeah, do I think the Yankees are going to repeat as American League East champions? I do. But the reality is you have the wild card, right? I mean, there are two teams that are going to make it as wild card teams. So you would think that the Red Sox, if they brought back the team they had last year, that they would be in serious contention for that. So I understand his Yankees point, but I think maybe the point he's missing is that beating the Yankees is not the only way into the playoffs. And in fact, it's not even the most likely way into the playoffs for this team.
Yeah, that's probably true. And I think the Yankees are, you know, they're solid. They got a lot of good young players. They got good veteran players. I mean, there's their pitching rotation, I think, still is.
Well, they got Garrett Cole, though.
Even with Garrett Cole,
really?
I still think
they're not
buying
it.
No, I think Cole's great, but, you know, the Red Sox, it took, you know, three or four of those guys before they really had a dominant rotation.
But even but they're going to get Severino, like a healthy Severino.
It's true. I mean, if Severino, I feel like is right on that. Like, this is a big year for a guy like him. Like, you're still pretty young.
Yep.
You know, a lot was sort of put on you. And last year, I think, was kind of a, you know, sort of season.
Yeah,
boom,
he was hurt.
You know, this is a year where a guy like him sort of makes or breaks what the future is going to be. So we'll see. I think the Yankees are better than the Red Sox. Not
I do
like
too.
I don't, but I'm not sure the gap is so big that, you know, Boston has no chance. And I also don't think Tampa's going to be as good this year either.
Oh, there you go. That's a sneaky. They traded Tommy Pham, but that's a sneaky hot take.
That Tampa won't be as good?
Yeah.
I mean, listen, Bloom's gone. I don't know. I mean, I think that they have a lot of pieces and certainly are not a bad team. I don't think they're going to be down with the Orioles or the Blue Jays or anything, but I don't know. Wasn't it sort of weird how they went all that last season with only two starting pitchers?
That's a good point, yeah.
I feel like that's not going to work year after year.
But, I mean, if they have a healthy Blake Snell, healthy Tyler Glasnow, healthy Charlie Morton, that's pretty good.
Yeah, it's not bad. 617-779-0985.
I almost wish we could get a dong report.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's the offseason, obviously, but we're talking all this baseball with you, and it is reminding me of the dong report on the Jones Show.
Everybody misses the dongs. We're gonna be really hardcore branding the dongs this year. By the way,
does that have a sponsor?
Stay tuned.
Really?
You know, stay tuned. There might be some merchandise, some dong merchandise.
Are you serious?
I'm dead serious.
Really?
I am. Wow. Dead dong serious.
Okay, right? So we're breaking some news on
let's not go crazy.
Okay.
I'm all saying, right. Keep your eyes out. Keep your eyes peeled. Because you may be seeing some dong merchandise, on the website very soon. You might be. I'm not saying you will. Let's go to the phones here. We got time for one more call about dongs or no dongs. Doesn't matter. By the way, do you think that now that Major League Baseball is cracking down on sign stealing, we're going to see a decrease in dongs? Because I'm a little afraid of that.
Do you think we'll see some shrinkage in the
dongs? A little dong shrinkage, I think, with all of this added emphasis on stealing signs.
I think you're onto something.
I mean, that's not good news for the dongs, but I feel like the dongs, they're strong. They'll survive. Jay is in Brookline before we go to break. Go ahead, Jay.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
What's up?
Good.
Thanks for taking my call. So I think the Red Sox have to trade Mookie Betts, but only if they're going to get something in return. If they're going to get junk, then it's not even worth it. I mean, they still have some dead money with, like you said, Pedroia. I think they still owe Ruznay Castillo for a year. And this is a huge year. If they're going to trade him, they have to get guys who are on the doorstep, guys who are real prospects. I mean, he's a legit guy, Mookie, but we should keep him if we can get this year out of him and maybe get something at the deadline or at least the first-round pick. And this is a big year for Benintendi to step up and show his 7 overall pick and that he's a legit player, not a 13 homer, 60 RBI guy.
Jay, you know what? I 100% agree with that Benintendi part. I thought he was a real letdown last year.
Yeah.
And as far as Mookie's concerned, I guarantee you that's what Henry and Chaim Bloom and Werner and the rest of those guys are probably talking about right this very moment. You know, is this trade worth it? Is it worth getting back this return for, you know, losing Mookie Betts? And I got to be honest with you. I think that from their perspective, and I know this is just about PR and not at all about baseball, you know, from their perspective, I think it looks better to the fans if they make every effort to re-sign him and then he spurns them and goes somewhere else. You know, then at least you can say you tried everything. You tried everything you could to keep him here and it just didn't work. You know, I think that's an easier plan to sell to everybody than trading him to the Padres for, you know, five of their middle best prospects and Will Myers. You know, that's where I stand on it. I don't know if that's going to happen or not. It sounds like probably not. It sounds like there's a lot of accelerating talks here and certainly some kind of bidding war between the Padres and the Dodgers. And listen, if Chaim Bloom is able to somehow, and he wouldn't be the first GM to make the Dodgers look like morons in some trade with the Red Sox. You know, I feel like there's a rite of passage for every new Red Sox GM, is they get to take advantage of the Dodgers like right when they get here. But you know, if that doesn't happen, if you're not going to get some major return, some major haul that you can sort of reset with and go forward with, with real foundational prospects, I just wonder if it's even worth it.
Yeah, you can. But here's the other thing I would say on that, Arcan. You brought in Chaim Bloom because you wanted some of the Rays magic. And the Rays do a lot of things that are sort of unpopular or unorthodox. And so if you want some of that Rays magic with your team, then you have to let Bloom do his thing. The reality is, and I wrote this in the Globe the other day, I have a column on this. I'm just telling Boston baseball fans now, be prepared when this trade goes down to be disappointed. Like, they are not going to get, to Jay's point, like, you're not going to get, like, what you think is fair value for Mookie, at least not initially. Now, you might look 3 years down the road and say that was a pretty good trade, but when this thing's made, it's going to be pretty underwhelming. And so that's the thing. You know, that's what the Rays do. They find undervalued assets. They find guys that, you know, people look at and say, well, I didn't think that guy would be that good. Well, if you've empowered Chaim Bloom as your chief baseball officer to operate the way the Rays did in some regard, then you have to let him make a deal like this that's not going to be popular from a PR standpoint and that's going to look like 50 or 60 cents on the dollar when you make it. Otherwise, what's the point?
Yeah, I agree. Otherwise, you know, I mean, I feel like you've set up Chaim Bloom for failure regardless. You've really put him into a terrible, terrible situation. And John Henry didn't help it either by announcing to the whole world that he's trying to get under the luxury tax. I mean, there's a lot of things that probably should have been done differently in terms of Chaim Bloom and what he's expected of him. But, you know, if he can turn this into something palatable, I'd consider that a major, major victory for him. And honestly, I give him a pass for this whole year. I really do.
I do too.
I mean, I know that's sort of a cheap way out, but I feel like he does not deserve any of the crap that's going to come his way for whatever goes wrong this year. That's how I feel about it. 617-779-0985 is the phone number. Back to your calls right after this.
Gasper and Murray. Gasper and Murray. Gasper and Murray. Gasper and Murray. On 98.5. This is Gasper and Murray.
You will listen.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub. Got about 20 minutes left here in the program. Gasper and Murray, we do have 5 questions. We will continue that. I got the email from Tracy.
Oh, we will? Really?
That's right.
Tracy, and it's coming up big.
Tracy's not even here.
She's I was going to say she did. Wow.
She's like, you're going to ask these 5 questions, God damn it. And I was like, all right, I'm sure, Tracy.
Tracy gets extra credit.
She threatened me. She said, you're going to ask this, you're never going to work in this town again. I said, all right, Tracy, whatever you want.
Tracy, you know, parenting her children and you are, Ken.
That's right. Keeping us all in line. So we will have the 5 questions with Chris Gasper at the end of the program. In the meantime, let's blow through the rest of these phone calls before we get back to both Mookie Watch and Brady Watch, though I'm thinking probably some of these calls will be about that. Let's start with George in the car. Looks like he wants to talk about Mookie. Go ahead, George.
Yeah, I'm hearing a lot about the whole packaging Mookie and David Price idea. I'm thinking when you're trading the second best player in the American League, turning that into a salary dump, just doesn't seem like a good idea to me at all. We're talking about, I mean, it's a big baseball market. 30 mil is a lot of money, obviously, but
right.
John Henry got the pockets for it. You're going to send David Price to the National League, where he's obviously going to do a lot better, send away the second best player in the league, and that process get garbage back because it's a salary dump.
Yeah, well, okay, I mean, it depends if it's garbage or not. We don't know what prospects the Dodgers are offering, George, but I guess the problem here is, like, yeah, Mookie's the second best player in the American League, but he's made it so clear to everybody over and over again that he wants to go to free agency that you know you're only getting a year, so you're not going to get the maximum return. That's kind of the problem. If you're trading him, is something that this team has to do, that's the predicament that they're in just based on what he's said publicly. You can't change that.
Yeah, I mean, that's absolutely true. I figure you may as well try to get the best prospects you can out of it if he has to go. You know, the whole reset year, you can get rid of David Price, salary dump, personality dump, whatever you want to call it, but I'd rather get the most value back than just send away 2 players and get less value.
Hey, George, you're preaching to the choir over here. I agree with you 100%. I just feel like
you know, you're not going to get a good return for Mookie Betts. You're not going to get a return that you should get.
Yeah, you're not.
For Mookie. That's just the way it is. You're not going to get top prospects. No team's going to give up top prospects for 1 year of a guy, one guaranteed year. It's just not going to happen. And forget it. You want to wait even longer and keep the fish on the hook there for the trade deadline, you're going to get even less.
I agree with you. I'm glad you said it, because I feel like a lot of people are saying or writing, well, you know, they could just start the season with them and deal them at the trade deadline. And I'm like, I think you're going to get even less, because now it's not even a full season.
You get a half a season of Mookie Betts, and then he leaves you in the dust.
Like, well, he's a straight-up rental for 3 months.
Right. And that's happened before. Teams have done it, but you don't get anything good for that. You don't get, like, good prospects for a rental. That's just not how that works. It's CeCe Sabathia in Milwaukee or John Lester over to Oakland. They had to trade. Who did they get? Cespedes? I think in the John Lester thing, you're not getting top prize. It's just not how it works.
Not in today's baseball. I mean, maybe back in the day, you could do it. Like, who?
If you traded Mookie last year, you might have.
Yeah.
2 years of Mookie, you might get a top prospect for that. You're not getting it for one. No way.
Yeah.
No way. And that's the sad reality of this whole situation. And the owner didn't put him in any sort of good standing by announcing to the world, hey, no matter what, we got to get under this thing. We've been trying to get under the luxury tax for a full year. Okay, John, well, that's great. So now that we know that that's, you know, priority number one here for you over at Fenway, we can lowball you because we know you need to get rid of the guy. You know, you work with us now, okay? Instead of having the trump card here of Mookie Betts and who wants to trade for Mookie Betts, now we all know you have to get rid of him. Now you know that that's a priority. That's just stupid. It was stupid for him to reveal that. I can't believe that someone who's been in this town so long would not catch his tongue before he said something like that. Just really, really stupid from a negotiating standpoint. Howard is in Randolph. Go ahead, Howard.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
What's up?
All right, part of the problem is the Sox hamstrung themselves last year when they signed Chris Sale to a 5-year deal and they gave Eovaldi a 4-year deal.
Agreed.
That's $45 million a year right there.
Yep.
And Sale was coming off, he was injured part of the year before. So, and then Eovaldi, they gave the money because he had one good game in the World Series.
Howard, that's a good phone call. I agree with you.
I wouldn't sign Mookie for 10 years. He's 27, so you know, that's taking a 37. Who's to say he's going to have more than two or three good years? And that's assuming he doesn't get injured.
Right.
I mean, they were smart with Pedro. He wanted 4 years. They let it go, and he only had like one a year and a half good. And then we look at what happened with Ellsbury. He was signed for 7 years. I think he had maybe, 2 years of that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's so one of the worst contracts in
baseball. Long-term contracts aren't worth it anymore. Not for that kind of money.
Yeah, no, you're right, Howard. I mean, A-Rod had a long contract. He played well to the end of
Jeter.
It. Jeter. Pujols is still, you know, he's still there. But I mean,
Manny was good for most of his deal.
Manny was good because of the drugs he was on. But yes, I would agree that he was good for most of his deal.
Yeah.
Even with the Dodgers when he was really juicing. he was taking, like, fertility pills and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Like, he was doing all sorts of crap.
Crazy. But here's the thing, fans, just quickly before we take another call, Arcan, I think here's the thing, fans are not going to get or understand or be willing to accept is that for the Red Sox, and this is going to be a tough sell from them from a PR standpoint, to your point, from the Red Sox, the return is not about what they get back for Mookie. It's about the flexibility they get financially moving forward. And that's not anything immediate, and you don't know what they're going to do with that. So as a fan, you're like, we just traded our best player, and what did we get? Like, who are you going to bring in? So, like, 2 years from now, you'll bring in who? You know, that's going to be a tough sell.
Yeah, it absolutely is. Steve in Fall River. Hey, Steve.
How are you? How are you? How you doing, guys?
Good. What's up,
Steve?
Here's the deal. The Red Sox will fare better in the next decade after they lose Mookie Betts than the Patriots will in the decade after they lose Tom Brady. And the reason is the Red Sox are going to spend the money. The other issue is if you're going to have Bill Belichick trying to rebuild this team, good luck. I cannot wait for the post-Brady era to begin so I can prove that I've been right for two decades.
What, the Belichick is only Brady, huh?
No, he's not only Brady. That's not the answer. He's a part of this deal, but Brady is the majority, just like Peyton Manning was. Some wise beat writer said it. Maybe your co-host knows. When Peyton Manning went to the Denver Broncos, this national guy said, when Peyton Manning walked into the offices of the Denver Broncos, the whole organization got better, even the receptionist. Never was a better line said than what a top quarterback means to a franchise. We've bastardized that in the last two decades. We've just lost out.
Bastardized? They won six Super Bowls, Steve. I mean, they didn't bastardize anything. Tom Brady was, you know, very, very good here. And if he goes somewhere else, that's fine. He's 43. He's going to be 43 years old next year. You know, Peyton Manning was 36 when he retired, I think.
No, he was like 40 years old when he retired.
I don't think so.
I think he was 36.
Or no, he was 36 when he signed with the Broncos.
When he went to Denver.
So he was like 38 or 39, right? Yeah, I guess when he retired. I don't think he made it to 40. But either way, I mean, you know, that's a big difference between that and what we're seeing with Tom Brady right now. Now, I don't think Steve was arguing that, you know, wherever Brady goes is suddenly going to become like the big contender. They're going to win a Super Bowl like the Broncos did with Peyton or anything like that.
But it makes coaches look smarter.
It does.
I've said, like, you know, what did people think Arcana of Pete Carroll before Russell Wilson got dropped in his lap?
Thought he was
right?
a jackass.
Yeah, they thought he was. Yeah. The 1 year, Daniel Snyder is a terrible, terrible owner. He's one of the worst owners in sports. But the 1 year that RG3 played at a Pro Bowl level, suddenly that team was in the Super Bowl.
That's right.
I sort of agree with Steve. The quarterback can make everybody look smarter. Everybody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that's no question about that. But I also think Bill Belichick's drafted two quarterbacks who were, you know, Super Bowl contenders.
Well,
now.
I mean,
we'll
know,
see if Jimmy wins tomorrow, but I mean,
honestly,
I think Bill's proven beyond a reasonable doubt at this point that he's able to put a team together.
Oh,
even,
he is.
Even with or without a great quarterback. Like, he rebuilt that team on the fly around Tom Brady, and they ended up winning three more Super Bowls.
But, I mean, Tom Brady's human spackle. He plugged, like, a lot of holes. Here's what I'd say about Brady, too. Like, I'll be honest, I can't really give, do you give Theo Epstein, like, credit for, you know, David Ortiz? Was that, like, a master plan, or did you just get a lottery ticket? Because I feel like Brady was a lottery ticket. They had him in the sixth round. They were legitimately debating Brady or Tim Rattay, and Dick Rabine
pounded his
fist on the table for Brady. You know, I'll give Bill more credit for Garoppolo if Garoppolo wins the Super Bowl tomorrow than I do for drafting Brady. I mean, that was a lot. That's like me walking outside and finding a $1 million lottery ticket on the ground. That's
true.
The same thing.
But he went with him, you know?
I give him credit for that.
He stuck with him.
And I give Pete Carroll the same credit.
Like, Ted Johnson just walked in here. Ted Johnson standing in the back room. When that all happened, Drew Bledsoe was the leader of that team.
No, you're right.
He was the leader in that locker room. Yep. He was the man. He was a number one overall pick. And everybody loved him. Everybody followed him. That was a big, big deal to sort of say, hey, we're going with the kid, and we're going with him for the rest of the year. I know Bledsoe was hurt, but we're going with him for the rest of the year. That's a big statement to make to a room full of veteran players. I mean, there was a lot of guys who'd been on the team a while, you know?
But he's not the only guy to make a decision like that. Remember, when Russell Wilson was the third-round pick in Seattle, they had signed Charlie Whitehurst to a big free agent deal.
I thought it was Matt Flynn they had.
Was it Matt Flynn?
I think it was Matt Flynn.
You're right. It was Matt
Wilson
Flynn.
Beat him out.
It was Matt Flynn. They'd signed him to a big free agent. I think Whitehurst was there the year before. It was Matt Flynn. You're right. And then he made the decision to go with the rookie, with Russell Wilson. So, again, two great decisions, but I'm just saying, Bill's not the only coach to make that decision. The hard part is having the lottery ticket dropped in your lap, which happened to Carroll. It's happened to the Cowboys with Dak Prescott, and happened to the Patriots with Brady.
Yeah, it did. All right, one more call before the break. Steve and Bill Ricka, go ahead.
Hey, Chris, I've been dying to talk to you about these OTAs because of the afternoon show. Now, with Brady, the year after they got rid of Garoppolo, Brady, Gronk, and the rest of the team went to OTAs. They committed themselves for that year. And that was the year Brady had lit it up that season. I think Gronk took a pound in that year, too. But they ripped through the playoffs, and that was, you know, the 500-yard laser show in the Super Bowl after that. Then we all know what happened with you know, the Malcolm Butler deal, that thing.
Steve, we're up against it. Let's go.
Okay, real quick. What happened after that was, what's his name, left, chirped when he went to Miami, Amendola.
Yep.
And then Brady said in his Tom versus Time, hey, why am I doing this? Why am I committing? Why did I do all this huge commitment to these OTAs when all that work got pooped down the drain by that's what changed the whole thing. And I think people are underestimating how Tom, that's not water under the bridge. That's still lingering. Tom is still, if anyone thinks Tom's not still pissed about that, they're crazy.
All right. I mean, thanks for the call, Steve.
Thanks, Steve.
OTAs, is that something?
I think it's larger point in terms of you know the sort of Cold War that went on and guys that were allowed to leave and
the Palace Q.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I do think there's still some scars from that. I think their relationship's in a much better place than it was. But look, the person who has denied Brady the contract he wants for the last 3 years now, 18, 19, you know, just 20, is Bill Belichick. There's no question about that, and that's the whole uncharted territory thing. You know, Bill likes to get rid of guys a year early rather than a year late. True. He likes his flexibility, and you don't do that if you give a 40-plus quarterback a 3- or 4-year deal.
All right, coming up next, 5 questions with Chris Gasper.
Stay tuned for more Gasper and Murray on 98.5 The Sports Hub. This is Gasper and Murray on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
I got 5 questions for Chris Gasper of the Globe. I got 5 questions that got nothing to do with sports. I got 5 questions.
5! 1, 2, 3, 4.
I got 5 questions. I hope this segment ain't too wild.
Might be too whack. Murray's not here, but I am, Ark, and in for Murray. So let's get to the 5 questions that have nothing to do with sports. And we will begin with number 1. This is a weird one here, Gasper. Vermont is going to be the first state to allow emojis on a license plate.
Ooh.
First of all, why? But the question is, what would yours be? What's your go-to emoji?
My go-to emoji? That's a tough one.
Jones is thinking man.
Thinking
right?
man?
The thinking man. Monocle Man's another good one.
Monocle Man is. I think mine would be the one where the face where the eyes are looking up. Not just the eyes, but it's like the yellow face where like the eyes are looking up.
Like the eye roll?
Yeah, the eye roll. That would be mine.
Eye roll's a good one. The poo pile's a nice one.
Yeah.
And the laughing so hard that you're crooked is
crooked crying. I could see that one, too.
Crooked crying
crooked
laughing.
Crying one would be good.
Nothing can be funnier than something that makes you crooked cry laugh like that. Let's go to number 2 here. Craziest thing you ever bought while under the influence, a.k.a. drunk shopping. That can include online shopping, Amazon, or maybe, you know, going to the mall, whatever you want.
I'm not really a big drinker, as people know, and I don't really like online shopping. So, I mean, I really can't think of this. The only thing I'd say is, like, it's not crazy, but it's just I was one of those people in my younger days in Faneuil Hall where I'd come out of there and, like, I'd buy, like, you know, 3 sausages.
Nice.
You know, it's like, give
me
the sausage.
Come stumbling out of the Ames Plow.
Exactly.
Give me a sausage.
Come stumbling out of Ned Devine's and be like, I need to find this sausage cart ASAP.
Nice. I wouldn't call it crazy either, but when I've had a few and I'm going through Amazon, I always get those old starting lineup figures. Remember those?
Oh, yeah. I still have one.
I have the starting 5 of the 86 Celtics on my desk right now.
So it's funny you say that. I don't have the starting 5, but I have the one they made where it's Magic and Bird, and they're on like the same.
Yeah.
I have that. It's in my office at home. I love that one.
That's awesome. All right, number 3. Gasper, when you have friends over, what's your go-to party food / drink for the guests?
Go-to one? We don't really host a lot, to be
friends?
Honest. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Bowl of chips with guac. I like guac.
You're not a
guac.
Charcuterie board guy?
No,
you don't like the meat and cheese situation?
It would be like, you know, tortilla chips and guac. I like the Wegmans guacamole.
Okay. Question 4. If you could be any animal, what animal would you be?
Cheetah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Speed.
Fastest animal. Uh-huh. I used to love cheetahs when I was a kid.
Cheetahs are cool. And finally, number 5, Chris Gasper. What is a dumb argument that you and your wife simply cannot stop having?
Oh, man. That's a tough one. There's so many arguments that we have. I would say it's probably our argument. So, like, my wife, an argument we keep having is over, she has, like, you know, she came into the marriage with, like, these savings accounts.
Oh.
And she sent me emails to, like, join her, like, savings accounts. And I feel like I never did it.
Oh.
And so she'll keep bringing it up. Like, it will come up, like, randomly. Like, I'll be talking about our finances or something. And it's sort of like, well, you never responded to my email to join that, like, Capital One account. And I'm like, oh, my God.
Can,
like,
you still do it? Just do it.
Yeah, I could. But it's like, we're 5 years into this. Like, what's the big deal? Like, we're fine. Everybody has their money.
If there's one thing I've learned listening to all those ads for Cordell and Cordell, the domestic litigation firm, a partner men can count on at night, it's that the finances are the most important thing. And right behind that, social media. Don't post on social media if you're going through it.
Yeah, I would say that's what, I mean, we also have, like, stupid, like, our, like, about the TV, you know. We only have one television.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, you know, I have to watch a lot of sports for work, obviously. And, like, you know, she'll watch, like, an episode of the Kardashians from, like, 2013. And I'm like, why do you need to watch this? Like, I need to watch a game.
Yeah.
You know? And she's like, but you monopolize the TV. So, yeah, sometimes we argue.
One dumb argument my fiance and I can't stop having is her asking me why I don't look more like Ted Johnson, which is totally unfair.
Yeah.
I feel like that's pretty unrealistic for me to be able to lose all that weight and get so much less muscular that I look like Ted Johnson. But, you know, that's what she wants. And can't argue with a woman. All right, there you go. There's your five questions. Chris Gasper, great working with you, my friend.
This was a pleasure, Arkin. I had a lot of fun. I'm looking
always
forward
a good time.
To that dong merch.
Yes, the dong merch. Keep an eye out for that. Stay tuned, by the way. Marshall Hook and Teddy J. Ted Johnson will be coming up next. They'll take you up until 5 o'clock. In the meantime, I'm Christian Arkin. I'll talk to you on Monday with Jones. Adios, everybody.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.